be like really close to territory, specifically the ancestral space of Apache Squeak. These nations are family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta, students union, we honor the nation's nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work toward the decolonization of indigenous knowledges and traditions. We'll start with attendance. President Butler. Vice President Agarwal?
Here.
Vice President Brown?
Here.
Vice President Stat? Vice President Larson?
Here.
Governor Lee?
Here.
Councilor McKenzie?
Here.
Councilor Vargas Alba, I believe, is on the live stream. Yeah, we have four. Oh, we need to plug something in. Give me a minute. Eric should be hearing stuff now on the live stream. Okay, Councilor Vargas Alba is on the live stream, so is Councilor Beasley. Councilor Chen?
Here.
Councilor Dixon?
Hi.
Councilor Draper?
Holla.
Councilor Isaac? Councilor Isaac? Councilor Ismail?
Yeah.
Councilor Maranakis?
Present.
Councilor Kidd?
I'm a proxy.
Okay. Sounds great. Councilor C? Councilor C? On the live stream. Councilor Ottawan? Councilor Ottawan? Councilor Bose?
Here.
Councilor Sunday is not. Councilor Nugent? Councilor Hadoosh? It is on the live stream. Oh, Sunday is on the live stream. Sorry, I missed you there. Councilor Hughes, Councilor Vanessa,
yeah.
Councilor Dillon,
yeah.
Councilor Gutierrez,
yeah.
Councilor Jamaldi,
yes.
Councilor McBay,
yeah.
Councilor Syed,
here.
I am here. General Manager is not, and that is not an accomplishment.
It's quorum, yeah.
More than I thought. Wonderful. Okay, we'll kick off the meeting with the first item, speaker's business. The next meeting of the Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, July 16th at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers. I only have a couple things tonight. Councillor Sunday has messaged me and he is rescinding his motion 7A, so that will be dealt with at the next meeting. And I will be special ordering both items on the late ads because with that motion off of the agenda, we have a very light meeting agenda, so we can have both of the late ads on there. That's a special case. As I said last meeting, and I'll say it again, the purpose of the late ads is for things that are time sensitive and that will do damage if they're not dealt with right away. Both of these items were addressed as like not time sensitive, but because we have such a light agenda, we'll make an exception today. That covers that. That's all I have for speaker's business. We'll move first into item two, presentations. 2A, UASU external advocacy. Excuse me. The UASU advocates to all levels of government in various ways and collaborates with other student associations to ensure success. However, much of this work is done in ways that students do not see on a day-to-day basis. This presentation will cover all political advocacy initiatives and the processes these initiatives follow, presented by UASU VP External Adam Brown. Brown moves to allow a presentation about UASU external advocacy. I'll look for a seconder. Vice President Agarwal, any opposition to seeing this presentation? Seeing none, we'll move forward. We'll get your slides up here. I'm going to hand you a mouse. And we'll start your 15 minutes whenever you're ready. So you can just, yeah, so do you like that one?
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Got it? Done?
No. Yes.
There you go. Okay. There we go. Sorry, I'm spoiling. Oh, yeah, just use the. Oh.
External advocacy, how it involves our students' union, what the value of it is as well. So overview, we'll talk about how advanced education and how governments approach advanced education. We'll talk about how we approach external advocacy in the UASU. I'll give an overview of the three advocacy groups that we're also part of, and then happy to answer some questions as well. The objectives of this presentation, first and foremost, so that council can understand the many acronyms involved in the work that I do. I use a lot of acronyms a lot of the time, and I try to steer away from the acronyms, but sometimes they happen. To show the UASU's external political operations in greater clarity, this is definitely, I would say, in my opinion, the exact portfolio that is the least present to the everyday student. It's something that is very off-campus and is often very away, so I want to make sure that I can bring it a little bit closer to home this year. Three, to demonstrate the continuing importance of external advocacy. Why do we do it? What has it gotten us so far? And why should we keep doing it? And then to answer any questions again, like I said. So we'll talk first about advanced education and government. So Article 93 of the Constitution does divide there are various topics or issues amongst the different levels of government. So where healthcare is, for example, a provincial responsibility, education is as well. So in terms of, so the provincial government has the power to create post-secondary institutions, to decide their direction, to categorize them, to administer them as they see fit. Provincial responsibility, so as I said, legislation, so tuition, the regulation of tuition, fees, mandatory non-instructional fees, types of post-secondary institutions, so universities, colleges, there are six categories in Alberta now because of some recent updates to legislation. Operating funding as well, so which lets our buildings work. Health funding as well, so there's a health transfer as well as a campus transfer. So a lot of that health funding goes into, for example, mental health and wellness initiatives. Employment programs, so an example of that would be the Summer Temporary Employment Program, or SET. And infrastructure funding as well, so capital funding that lets us build buildings, address deferred maintenance issues. One other thing that I should have put under there was Alberta Student Financial Aid as well. So upfront grants, loans, scholarships, and bursaries. Federal responsibilities, federal government, so loans as well, the Canada Student Loans Program, the overarching loans system in the country. There is sort of a divide. You apply for loans as to how much you get from the federal government as opposed to the provincial government. Employment as well, so there's a number of employment strategies that the federal government has put in place. There's a youth employment strategy, there are various Indigenous employment strategies, a lot of which touches students along with the Canada Summer Jobs Program. Research funding, so there are three different federal agencies which allocate research funds to post-secondary institutions, I can't remember what the acronyms are exactly, but they deal with different sort of fields of research. Intellectual property, so copyright law, often very important when talking about open education resources. Infrastructure funding as well can come from the federal government. Citizenship and immigration, concerning international students for the most part. Visas, study permits, those sorts of things. Tax policies, which obviously affects a lot of us in various ways, but as well as when you're looking at things like tax credits for education, that would fall under that. Savings programs, so tax-free savings accounts, RRSPs, RESPs, all federal Indigenous programs and initiatives, such as the First Nations and Inuit Summer Work Experience Program, and Statistics Canada, which is really useful for us and for institutions to collect data, and to see reports so that we can make more data-driven decisions instead of being more hands-on. So this is how Alberta Advanced Education System works, very high level sort of look at it. Obviously the Premier is the head of the government. Within the cabinet we have the Minister of Advanced Education, that's the minister that oversees everything that is post-secondary in Alberta. That minister has a chief of staff who oversees both political staff, but is also a link to the deputy minister. The deputy minister is the head of what's called the bureaucracy in government. So while different parties may come and go, and different MLAs may come and go in government, the bureaucracy is very much the steady ship in government doing things, whereas parties will change a fair bit. So the deputy minister being the head of the bureaucracy is the link sort of between the minister and the bureaucracy, and then under the deputy minister are three assistant deputy ministers that oversee a number of different portfolios. It's there, and then under them is a whole schlock of people that I don't even want to get into. It's so complicated. Internally to the Students' Union, though, we have obviously the executive, we oversee the general manager. General manager oversees the director of research and advocacy. His name is Jonathan Olford. He's a fantastic researcher. He does amazing things with numbers and statistics. And John oversees the external advocacy advisor. His name is Robbie Nelson. Robbie comes to all CAUSE and CASA external advocacy conferences with President Batnagar and myself. He comes to advocacy meetings with us. He's more of a very solid institutional memory when it comes to politics. And he also does our media, he's our go-between with the media as well. So if the Gateway or anybody else reaches out to us for an interview, they have to go through Robbie first so he can screen what's going on, he can figure out what questions they're going to ask, and he can help prepare us so that we can do the interview successfully. Under Robbie, under the EAA, is the vote coordinator. We're in the process of hiring that right now. Heading into the federal election in the fall, we need a GoTV coordinator to run another good campaign. And as well, under the DRA, are two part-time student research analysts who do a lot of that bulk research for us as well. I will also note that we were the first students union in the country to have a department like this, to have an arm like this, and it has benefited us like you wouldn't believe in terms of our effectiveness to act with informed opinions, both to the university and to government. A little bit more about our student union. So obviously we are guided by our political policies, so I can't go to government and say I think tuition needs to be, you know, three times what it is now. That is in violation of our political policies as a students union. And by violating a policy, I can face repercussions. Get out the vote, as I mentioned before, we do have a federal election coming in the fall, which means we want to make sure that as many students are out voting as possible. Similar as we did in the spring with the provincial election, it is nonpartisan. We don't care who you vote for, we just want you to vote. And we will be having advanced polls in the Students Union building as well. Oh, you got me. Oh, a little bit. Hold on, we're going to go back. Okay, there we go. And then as well, we do a number of independent advocacy meetings as well. So not on behalf of our provincial or federal groups, we'll just go with the Students Union, mostly over the summer. While, you know, the legislative sessions are normally slow, it's not like that with the provincial government right now. They are still sitting and working, but we managed to get into our summer advocacy meetings. This was last week, where we met with former Advanced Ed Minister and current NDP Environment Critic, Marlene Schmidt. We do these with members of all parties. We try to stick sort of to the Edmonton area and areas surrounding Edmonton, and we have other post-secondaries that will cover other areas of the province as well. So our municipal group that we are part of is called the Edmonton Student Alliance. This group is it's much more of an informal group. It does not have membership fees, it does not have staff. It hasn't been very active for the last few years. And members, so us, our Graduate Student Association, McEwen, Nate, Concordia undergrads, Concordia grads, King's University Students Association, and Northwest College Students Association as well, so all of the post-secondaries in Edmonton. We are, because it's been a very slow group for the last few years, our Students Union, we're working to sort of reevaluate how can this group be useful in municipal advocacy. We haven't really had a huge need to push anything municipally over the last few years, which in itself is a good thing, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep looking at what can we do next. So the biggest areas of relevance to the municipal government when doing advocacy are public transit, obviously concerning things like UPass, accessibility, housing as well. We want to make sure that there is affordable off-campus housing for students, and integration as well. So whether you're an international student or if you're coming from somewhere else, like I'm from Calgary, you do want to come to a city that is going to welcome you and that is going to integrate you so you feel a part of the community here. Our provincial group is the Council of Alberta University Students, founded in 1986. It was actually originally founded as more of just an information sharing group between the U of A, the U of L, and U of C students' unions. But it's slowly evolved into what it is today, which is basically an almost purely advocacy-oriented group. We still do some information sharing, but we focus primarily on provincial advocacy. We represent 120,000 students across the province. The membership fee that we paid last year was $53,000. We are the biggest group, being the largest post-secondary in Alberta. We're the biggest group, biggest member in CAUSE. Of the other members, so us, the University of Calgary Students Union, the Student Association of Mount Royal University, Students Association of McEwen University, and the University of Lethbridge Students Union. A few other things, so recent wins that CAUSE has had, Bill 19 was obviously a huge win. This took years of pushing for different measures under the previous government. Things like tuition, so capping domestic student tuition at inflation, predictability for international students, even though it's not exactly what we wanted. I'm going to keep going faster because I have 5 minutes left. Mandatory non-instructional fees are fantastic now. They basically require a veto from Students' Council. and governance as well. Mental health investments have been a big part of what the previous government did as well. They did increase mental health investments. And the summer temporary employment program was also brought back under the previous government, which lets students have more access to summer employment. Leadership is a chair and a vice chair. This year, the chair is Sehi Nazir from the University of Calgary Students Union, and the vice chair is Bailey Harry from the University of Lethbridge Students Union. We do have one full-time executive director at an Edmonton office just across the river. His name is John Mostel. He actually worked for us at one point as well. And we sometimes do hire part-time research assistants. Coming up, we want to be building relationships with this new government, something we've already started with meetings with the minister and meetings with various other members of the United Conservative Caucus, as well as any new MLAs on the New Democrat side as well. And a new approach to Indigenous student advocacy provincially, which was obviously a topic of contention here last year, into how COS handled it. So President Bhatnagar and I have been quite vocal in how, you know, in holding COS to account and how we're communicating or how we're operating this process, which is still quite slow because it's relatively the beginning of the year. Finally, my baby, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations, founded in 1995. We represent about 275,000 students to the federal government uniquely from undergraduate, graduate, and college polytechnic institutions. We also have a formal partnership with the Quebec Student Union, which is the only provincial group that we have a partnership with. Lets us represent 360,000 students. Quebec's post-secondary system is fairly different from the rest of Canada. They have they basically finish high school in grade 11, and then they have what's called Cégep, which is sort of a college sort of program for what would be grade 12 and first year post-secondary, and then you would enter into post-secondary. So it is a little different there, which is why this partnership exists. It also allows us to be the only national student group that represents students in Quebec, and because Quebec has so many seats in the federal government, in the House of Commons, that does allow us to meet with so many more MPs, members of Parliament, and to bring that influence and political capital. We paid last year about $55,000 into CASA. CASA has a cap membership fee of this amount, $55,000 plus inflation, and a base membership fee of $5,500, so that you don't have one student association, like we are the biggest member of CASA, paying $100,000, and then you would have like a very small student association like the St. Thomas University Students Association paying a very low amount, and then, you know, some larger ones might ask for larger voting power or whatnot. So we keep it at a relatively capped and strict fee system, so that every member has one vote, every member has the same say in how the direction of the organization is set, and it's been very successful for us that way. We do have 23 members. I won't go through the whole list, but check it out online. We are coast to coast. Not quite every province, but we're working on it. And CASA finally strives to ensure an affordable, accessible, innovative, and high-quality post-secondary experience for students. And again, this is solely federally focused. How much time do I have left?
Minute 30,
okay. Our leadership is a board of directors. I am the chair of the board for the second year in a row, so this takes up a fair bit of my time. Sometimes about half of my time is managing CASA. We have 6 employees normally at our home office in Ottawa, employees that deal with policy, with government relations, with communications, with membership. We have an office manager and an executive director. We now have an interim executive director while we're doing some shuffling at our office. Some recent wins: the last federal budget was fantastic. It was really, really great, and a lot of it reflected what we had brought to Parliament Hill last year in terms of ask. Student loans, interest on student loans was reduced. There were incredible investments in work integrated learning opportunities. Investments in research when have gone up over the last few years. I've done a number of presentations to both House of Commons and Senate committees on a number of topics, including international student issues. There have been in new investments in Indigenous access to post-secondary education, which has been good. And we also got a meeting with the Prime Minister last year, which no other student group across the country has been able to do. Coming up, get out the vote, obviously a huge thing, huge project for us right now. If you go to the CASA website, we recently released a poll that we did with Abacus Data showing what student priorities aged 18 to 25 are heading into the federal election. It's a really interesting study. How much time? About 30 seconds?
You're about done.
I'm about done? Looks like I'm about done.
So you can wrap up, or we can extend by 10 minutes if I see 5 placards.
Can I motion to extend by 10 minutes?
Well, it's 2/3 majority, just kidding. That's different.
looks like we got it.
Okay, I'll call that minute.
Thank you, y'all.
Okay. 10 minutes.
All right.
I only have a couple more slides.
Election priorities document is something that we've released as well. We want to make sure that political parties know what student priorities are, that they're incorporating that into their platforms. We've had several meetings with political parties where we have pitched, hey, this is what students want to see in your platform, or hey, if you want to get a student vote, which is now an extremely powerful demographic in this country because of the millennial voting, which is the millennial voting size, you really want to listen to our issues, and you really want to put our issues into your platform. We're hoping to see things like that come up very soon. The New Democrats federally have released their platform, and there are some things in there that that are things we push to highlight with them. Indigenous student engagement is also a big topic at the federal level right now. We're in the process of developing what's called the member sponsorship program, where members, CASA members from across the country, will be able to invite, will be able to bring an Indigenous student representative to a miniature CASA conference, hopefully this fall, where these Indigenous students will decide, you know, for themselves, really without any direction, what role that they see CASA playing in Indigenous student advocacy at the federal level. Do they want CASA to do Indigenous student advocacy or not? It's really very much an open system where we are, we're not trying to, you know, ask Indigenous students, well, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? It's really, what are your ideas? How can we support you in changing Indigenous student advocacy at the federal level as part of a large push of reconciliation within the membership, which I think is fantastic. SuperCon, so because there is a federal election, that has sort of completely changed our conference schedule for this year. Normally we do our advocacy week, which is a week that we spend on Parliament Hill talking to about 150 MPs and senators. Normally we do that in November or December. Federal election is in October though, so we push it into February. So we're gonna combine our advocacy week with our last annual general meeting conference. That's gonna be about 10 days in Ottawa. I'm gonna be exhausted when I get back, so I'm taking vacation. And the last thing is an executive director search, which should be happening in the fall. And I will be leading that. Overall takeaways from our external advocacy. The first one being that being nonpartisan is really one of our greatest assets. When we look at the effectiveness of being able to work with all political parties without endorsing or preferring any party, it's amazing when I go to Ottawa or I go to the legislature and I hear representatives from any political party say, we love working with you because you are, you bring forward great ideas and you're willing to work with everyone. And that is why I think CASA has been so successful, and CAUSE and our Students' Union have been so successful in our advocacy for the last number of decades, honestly. Our success has come from a strategy of relationship building and collaboration as opposed to being combative. So I've studied sort of the evolution of student advocacy over the last 50 years. It used to be a very combative system. There used to be a lot more protests and marches and those sorts of things. But it's evolved, I think, sort of to this much more diplomatic system where we can go to government and we can really show ourselves as a group that are really worthy of a seat at the table, that we really want to be a part of a discussion in moving something forward. And I think that's why we've been so successful over the last number of years as well. Not saying we haven't protested, because we have, and I helped organize the last one. That was more against the university than the government, but at the same time are a much more diplomatic and collaborative, and being able to go to folks from any party or anywhere and say, like, we just want to work with you. We don't care what you believe. We don't care what your agenda is. Like, we just want to get something done, and we hope you can, you know, do that with us. We do work with all kinds of student associations to create a stronger student voice. So when we go to the federal government, we can, you know, with CASA, for example, we can say, look, this isn't just undergraduate students wanting this. This is college students and graduate students. Or I'll go into a meeting as an undergraduate student representative and I'll ask a politician to create a system for graduate student financial aid, because that doesn't exist. And I think it really does communicate a much stronger message when we are all, even though we're from different kinds of institutions, we're all sort of helping each other progress, and that's why a united student voice is so powerful. And the last one is that our Students' Union has a very strong legacy. Well, we helped create CAUSE, we helped create CASA, the ESA, we've helped create other other student groups that are a little bit further back in history. We really have, as a Students' Union, left a pretty profound mark on the country in terms of the voices that we bring to government and how we're regarded. So I'm pretty proud of that. And that's pretty much it. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. We've got 5 minutes remaining and 10 minutes for questions. We'll start with one from the live stream because it came up first.
Yes,
Councillor Sunday, thank you for your presentation. Out of all the external groups the Student Union is part of, you don't hear too much about the Edmonton Student Alliance. Could you go into the history of your group a little bit more, and what are some of the tangible things the Edmonton Student Alliance has achieved slash done in the past?
Absolutely. It's honestly a little bit harder for me to talk about the ESA because it's been so I'd say like inactive within the last few years. I honestly don't know when it was created. I don't know if it has even really pushed much over the last few years, and that's sort of why we're taking the approach now of how can we really kickstart this engine and how can we really get things going municipally. So I can't really answer Councillor Sunday's question because there's not a lot of history or evidence there. But if people have ideas, like this is really the time that if you see something that you say, okay, the students need to be doing this at a municipal level, please come talk to me. Like my door is wide open to any sorts of ideas like that.
Thank you. We'll start with, I believe that's Councillor Chen.
Hi. So my question is similar to the Edmonton Students Alliance. It mentioned that it includes graduate students and undergraduate students. I wonder what's the relationship between the Students Union and the Graduate Student Association. I have heard that the Graduate Student Association is quite a bit far from us, and if we advocate for anything, I think we need more allies. I think that maybe we can create anything connection between two parties, such even some social events will helpful. I wonder if it's possible for us to achieve the connection of the goal.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of sort of behind the scenes work that happens between the SU and the GSA. We do a sort of an annual dinner right at the beginning of the year where we meet with their executive, we talk about goals. In terms of external advocacy, our GSA is part of a group called the Alberta Graduate Provincial Advocacy Council. So they're part of a group of just graduate student associations on the provincial level. But the GSA has also come and observed CASA as well. And I'm hopeful, very much crossing my fingers, that the GSA may join CASA within the next couple of years. So that sort of collaboration is a lot more behind the scenes, and I'm sure if you chat with the rest of the executive, they can sort of tell you what they also do with the GSA. But from an external perspective, it's more through the other groups that we work with that we're starting to, that I think we're getting a little bit more done with them right now. Thanks for the question, though.
Thank you. Next we have, can you move that over a bit out? Who's that?
Councillor McKenzie.
Councillor McKenzie.
So you mentioned in the presentation that combined the CAUSE and CASA membership fees are over $100,000. I was wondering if you could maybe just dive into, I guess, what the membership fees on both CAUSE and CASA entail and why they are so expensive.
Yeah. So both CAUSE and CASA rely solely on membership fees as their revenue. That's something that we're looking to maybe diversify on for CASA. I can't speak for CAUSE specifically, but those fees go into anything from like paying staff salaries to materials to the office rent, it's mostly operational costs, and then some funds from the entire membership go into things like campaign reserves, contingency funds, those sorts of things, much like the Students Union would rely on the students' membership fee, sort of in a similar way. As to why they're at that level, the CAUSE membership fee has been increasing without a cap over the last few years. It's something that we are likely going to bring forward to CAUSE, is putting in a cap so that we're not charged too excessively a fee in the future compared to the fact that we are the biggest member and we don't want to be paying a disproportionate fee compared to the smaller members of CAUSE. So it's something that we've been talking about bringing forward. And as I said, for CASA has a membership fee cap, so our CASA membership fees are never going to go, are never going to increase beyond inflation in a certain year. We're redoing our fee structure at CASA right now because the Student Choice Initiative or Voluntary Student Unionism in Ontario means that our Ontario members are now experiencing problems with paying
their fees to CASA, so it's something that we're just starting to reevaluate a little bit, but keeping the $55,000 cap and then the $5,500 minimum ensures that there's this sort of space where the entire membership can sit without having one member that pays an extravagant amount and would, you know, demand for more voting rights or power or something like that.
Thank you. We'll allow two more questions. I have one from council here and then one on the live stream, and we'll wrap up unless we want to suspend standing orders to move on. Excuse me. Next one was back there. 82. Is that you, Mr. Closer?
Thank you. My question is there any concern from student groups that aren't part of CASA with CASA being too Alberta heavy? Because Alberta currently makes over one third of the student groups within CASA as membership.
No, there's never been any sort of concern with that. We have CASA has, yeah, 9 members in Alberta, you're right. 3, I think, in BC. The only, I guess, region that's as member heavy as Alberta is the Maritimes as an entire region. No, that's never been any sort of major concern that I've ever seen in people being concerned about that. I think that it's really interesting to see that Alberta, a lot of Alberta schools were the first ones to jump into CASA when it was created, and the Maritimes especially as well. So a lot of our recruitment efforts, that's why we have a member relations officer, a lot of our recruitment efforts right now are looking at British Columbia and Ontario in particular. Ontario is a little difficult to recruit in right now because of the Student Choice Initiative, and a lot of student associations there are going to deal with a drop in revenue and might not be able to afford being part of an advocacy group, but British Columbia definitely has a lot of potential for our recruitment as well. Saskatchewan too, a little bit.
Thank you. And last question, unless we want to move forward, is from the live stream, Councillor Sunday. What is CASA doing to combat volunteer student unionism?
That is a great question, and I'm so glad Councillor Sunday asked that. CASA, in my opinion, CASA has been a little slow in moving towards its stance on voluntary student unionism. It's something that we as an SU are pushing for pretty aggressively in the membership right now. We'll likely keep putting forward some more formal proposals for how we think CASA should deal with it. A lot of it's been sort of higher level discussion, but we want to make sure it's a little bit more formal now. CASA has talked about our transition this year, gathering research. A lot of the members of CASA have done research, but it's not sort of accumulated in the same place. CASA is also looking at doing something like that and might even partner with provincial groups like CASA to get something like that done. But I'm hoping that CASA is going to be able to strategize a little bit more and plan a little bit more assertively in the future on how we want to approach voluntary student unionism, and in working with the other provincial groups in Alberta. So there's the ABG PAC, which is the graduate group. There's also another group called ASEC, the Alberta Students Executive Council, which is comprised of colleges and polytechnics mostly, and smaller institutions in the province. So I really hope that we can sort of work with everyone to develop some more formal strategies and stances. Great question, though.
Thank you. We have one more question on here. Do you know the answer, or what are you doing?
Just a question.
We've gone past our 10 minutes, and I've already been lenient and given like 3 minutes extra because we have people on there.
That's fine.
Is it needed?
No.
Okay, otherwise we can suspend standing orders to allow more.
I forget.
Okay, I recommend you email your question or concern to Vice
President. It's more
or whisper in his ear.
What's that?
I said or whisper in his ear. Okay, thank you, Vice President Brown, for
the
presentation. That concludes item 2, presentations, and we'll move into item 3, executive committee report. Would any members of the executive committee like to make a report? I got Vice President Larson.
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the last couple weeks, or the last 2 weeks, I guess, since we last met, I did take some personal time over the long weekend, got to visit with some family, which was nice, went back home for golf tournament. But on the work-related things, we had our media training last week, where we brought in an external media trainer from Kiel Consulting, which we learned a lot of the ins and outs on how to deal with media and how to best represent our students that way. We've also had a couple extensive strategy planning trainings for UASC CARES and finding a permanent home through that and looking at further development with that in partnership with the Dean of Students. The RFP for the new Wi-Fi system in residence has received its grading system now, so we're in the middle of reading through all of the RFP proposals and grading them that way and choosing a provider for the RFP. We're also working, coming up this week, with the Dean of Students and looking at a strategized plan for how we can manage to hire the Sexual Violence and Prevention Coordinator. And lastly, just following up with a question from last week with the UF policy regarding some instances that occurred at the University of Ottawa. I contacted their UF's Community Liaison Officer and went through a couple different things, and UF's in itself does not have a policy that requires, or that enables their officers to card students, but within the student code of behavior, student code of conduct, they are allowed to do that, but it's simply based off of a student's behavior and not off of any sort of other biases that may be present. But they also receive various different forms of training through extensive training on that, as well as micro trainings twice a week towards sensitivity and oppression training and whatnot. So that's what I've got to report for this week, and thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Larson. I'll now go to Vice President Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Hello again, everybody. A few things to add to my update. Last week, President Matnagar and I met with Andrew Sharman, the VP of Facilities and Operations for the university, to discuss infrastructure funding from the provincial government and what that's looking like. We are going to have to wait really until a fall budget comes out from the provincial government to see how much they're going to be funding deferred maintenance until the spring. But it is definitely an area of concern that we have. We need to make sure that we're able to make sure our buildings don't shut down. We also did advocacy meetings with MLA's Marlon Schmidt and Dave Egan. Marlon Schmidt being former advanced ed minister, current environment critic, and Dave Egan is the new advanced education critic for the New Democrats. So both really great meetings. We got some good perspective and advice on how they think we should approach a couple of issues. So I found those very helpful and good for relationship building. And the only other thing I think I would note is I will be on vacation from July 15th to 24th. So any emails or anything you need to get a hold of me up for that time, you can reach my back or please send that over to President Batnagar, and I believe that's pretty much it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I'm going to move on to Vice President Agarwal.
So I have had a pretty eventful past 2 weeks. It's been very, very exciting to see the engagement from people who are interested in the research events. So we have a pretty solid team. We'll be meeting hopefully next week to talk about some really cool ideas. So come wearing your thinking caps. I'm very excited. Last week on Friday, I was at the Alberta Open Education Resource Community and Practice Annual Spring Summit with President Batnagar. So that was a really interesting time. I was able to learn about some of the complexities of open education and what it really means. There's a really cool quote that was spoken there. Collaborative practices, which include the creation, use, and reuse of OERs, as well as PEPFAR practices employing participatory technologies and social networks for interaction, peer learning, knowledge creation, and empowerment of learners. If that's confusing, you can come talk to me and I can explain all about what OERs mean. The Be Book Smart Fair is happening potentially in October, so we're starting planning on that. It's going to be an online campaign for 2 weeks, and then the fair will be 1 day. If you have any ideas or comments about that, you can come talk to me. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. So far, we've been setting up faculty association meetings, as well as this year we're going to be including counselors. So keep an eye open for some mixers later on.
Thank you. I'll now move to Vice President Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So over the last couple weeks, it's been a lot more sort of in the weeds operational stuff. But there have been a few committees of note that have been pretty exciting. Last week, the executive presented to ARC sort of on the progress of the ARC recommendations. I think the most probably felt was going quite well. The Sustainability Task Force met again. We're working on developing standing orders for the future committee, and I think that's progressing well. I also went to a UCAS meeting again and brought forward Mark's question that he asked in the last council meeting, to which kind of the reply that I thought I put in my written report, and it was just basically like, that's something the university would be interested in looking into more in the future, in the future contract, but it's just not possible right now. I also attended the United Way committee meeting, which was very exciting, and I'm starting to sort of event planning for some sort of fundraising and whatnot for later on in the year, and that's pretty exciting. Outside of that, for the most part, it's just been finalizing exact goals and some operational things, like I said. As sort of a fun note for everybody, personal note, I went to a case competition last Friday and came first, so that was a lot of fun. But outside of that, that's all for me this week. Thank you.
Thank you. President Benchgar. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So just to quickly add to the goals, or to the report that I submitted, today the executive finalized our goals document, so that's really, really exciting. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to sending that over to marketing, and hopefully we'll have that out. We also talked about an engagement pathway, because I know that there was some feedback about how we can actually connect students to the goals that we ran on, or the goals that we decided on as a team. So we're looking at doing some unique infographics, et cetera, et cetera, so keep an eye out for that. Additionally, for those who are interested, the Students' Union Handbook that we give out every single year is completely being, for lack of better words, revamped this year. It's going to be super, super interesting, a lot smaller, still filled with the coupons that everyone loves, but the content is going to be a lot more interesting for students. So often, if you open the handbook, for example, you see the bios of, like, the executive committee, and that's kind of boring to read, to be honest, and so we try to do something super unique, so kind of like a 73 questions with Vogue style thing. So I'm excited to see what it looks like, because I don't know yet, but come September, the handbook's going to be completely different, so make sure, even if you're a returning student, to grab one, because it's going to be really unique. But other than that, it's just been simple operational work, and really supporting the VPs again, and just trying to get us settled in after the conference schedule. And then come August, all of us are going to be traveling a lot for work and for personal reasons, so just trying to get some goals strategized before we head away for August. But if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you. That'll conclude our executive committee reports. Now move on to board and committee reports, starting with ARC. And an ARC report was provided to me in writing by for Sunday. At the last meeting, the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee, the Executive Committee, and even the General Manager attended and presented on their progress in regards to the ARC recommendations. The presentation is mandated in the committee's standing orders, and the executives didn't disappoint. A lot of progress has been made, both by the executive and general departments and the Students' Union. The Student Union's progress on these recommendations is indicative of the importance placed on them by their organization as a whole. Also, as some of the standing committee chairs already know, I am sending letters to each committee of Students' Council detailing ARC recommendations which fit into each committee's mandate. Watch out for those in the coming week. Also, if you would like to review the executive presentation, it is attached to the last ARC order papers. We'll then move to Audit Committee. Would anyone from the Audit Committee like to provide a report? Please go ahead.
Audit Committee approved the Lister Student Law Student Association's audit. And we also approved Lister last meeting. Currently have 25 audits in progress. We set a deadline to approve any incoming receipts by July 19th. And our next meeting is July 9th.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll now move to Dialogue Committee. Go ahead.
We were scheduled to meet last Wednesday, but sadly, due to a variety of things popping up for the majority of our members, we were unable to meet quorum, which made me kind of sad because I was really excited to get into bylaw, and as I said, it is a hoot and a half, and I had to miss out on that. We actually had contacted CRO Jimmy Thibodeau to talk about going over some election bylaws, so we're looking to have a meeting this Thursday to catch back up to that, just because I kind of planned out a whole schedule, I was super excited, and we kind of have to push back a little bit, but it should be good. I also got a letter from Councillor Sunday talking about the ARC recommendations, and I'm hoping to go over that at our next meeting.
Thank you. And next we'll go to Council Administration Committee. Would anyone from CAC would like to provide a report? I just see one popping up. Councillor Beasley, hello Council, sorry I can't be there. This week's CAC meeting was canceled as one item on our agenda was rescinded. And then decided that we can move our discussion on council merge online. Once we decide on our top two choices tomorrow, I'll ask Submart to draw up projected pricing and hopefully get samples in for both. Our next meeting will be in 2 weeks at 5 p.m. in the council chamber as usual. We'll now go to executive committee. I want to remember the executive budget provider report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So executive committee has been finally regularly meeting because we're all in the office. So a couple of things that we did was approve a contingency request to upgrade the seats in the Meyer Horowitz Theater because they're literally so bad that we had to find money because they're falling out now. So we spent $30,000 on that. The fridges in Submart were kind of crapping out, so we just submitted a contingency request for that today. We're looking to sort of upgrade the fridges. And the last item was supporting a project allocation fund for VP Agrawal regarding the Senate poster session. So we're going to be supporting that in some sort of shape, way, or form through monetary resources. If you have questions about the research thing, please ask VP Agrawal. And other than that, this coming Thursday will be the last time the executive committee meets for one full month because we will all be traveling again. So if you have any questions, please feel free to let me know.
Thank you. And I move to Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee has not met since last council meeting. However, I do hope to have a meeting next week.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go to nominating committee. Member Nalcom would like to make a report. Please go ahead.
Nominating committee worked hard last week. We posted information on the job in and submitted in the Student Digest. We also share it on the social media, which proves to be effective. So far, we get 4 applications. After the deadline, which is on July 4th, we will schedule a meeting to approve those applications and send the students to the Student Group Committee and ARC. Thanks.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to Policy Committee, which I was providing a report as well. Hi, Council. Sorry I'm not in today. I'm currently in this from Council Barcasalva. Sorry I'm not in today. I'm currently in Medicine Hat visiting family and will be going to Lima, Peru from the 10th to the 24th to the World Universities Debating Championship in Spanish. Policy met last Tuesday. We'll meet next Tuesday and we'll take a break for the meeting after that. August will be a big policy month. We'll be gearing up to bring tons of policies, so stay tuned. And next I'll go to Student Group Committee, which I was also given a written report. Student Group Committee has yet to meet in person, but there is good news. Nominating Committee has received a few applications for the committee's student large positions. Once these positions are filled, we will be fully staffed and ready to meet. And with that, we'll go to Translation Committee. Is there anyone from Translation Committee that would like to make a report? We'll go to Board of Governors.
The Board of Governors has not met and is not meeting again until September. So I am personally going to be doing a little bit of board-related things over the summer, but have not in the last 2 weeks as I am focused on work and studies. But there will be more interesting things in my update next council.
Thank you. And that concludes Board and Committee reports. We'll now move to the first 15 minutes open forum. As I usually do, I have the standing orders on the screens here, so you can see the rules here. I have 2 individuals registered for open forum, and we'll start the first 15 minutes with Mr. Klooster. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for VP External Brown. What are the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations' priorities when lobbying with regards to unpaid/underpaid internships for university students?
Thank you. Vice President Brown.
Thanks very much for the question. This is actually a big win CASA had a few years ago. We successfully advocated for the federal government to eliminate unpaid internships for students within federal government and bureaucracy, but also within federally regulated sectors. So that's been a big win for us over the last few years. I just gave an interview on that, I believe, to the Canadian press a couple of weeks ago. In terms of, there are a few things that are A few changes that have sort of come up here. Sometimes a student will be offered credit instead of remunerated pay. Obviously, getting paid is the preferred method of receiving something for your work. Getting credit's not bad, but it's definitely not the same as getting paid. So I definitely communicated that to the Canadian Press in my interview. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Any other questions for open forum? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is again for VP Brown. What are causes, priorities when lobbying with regards to unpaid / underpaid internships for university students?
Thank you, Vice President Brown. And just a reminder that it's a max of 3 oral questions during open forum. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much again. I shot up a message to some colleagues at CAUSE to try to see if they know exactly if or what causes history of this has been. CAUSE in the process of sort of redoing its formal policy stance right now, and so I don't know if we have had any sort of major wins on that sort of stuff over the last few years. Obviously, I can't say though for the Students' Union that BSU is obviously opposed to unpaid internships. So if I do a little bit more digging and I get an answer, I can for sure get back to you. What's up? Thanks.
Thank you. And Mr. Booster.
Thank you. This is again for VP Brown, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, look at this.
You said with your answer with regard to CASA's priorities, I'm questioning just if you can give further information on that, because I was recently made aware of a position for an unpaid internship in the DC embassy. So that would be a federally regulated workplace. So I'm not sure where is that disconnect.
Thanks, Mr. Brown. That's a very interesting question. If you could follow up and send me some more information on that case, I'd love to hear it. As far as I'm aware, any student that works for the federal government or federally regulated sector has to be paid or receive some sort of academic credit. So if this is a sort of a regular case, I would love to hear about it and bring it to our office in Ottawa. Thanks very much.
Sure. I'll send you that document.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions for Open Forum? Going once, going twice. That will conclude open forum. I'll now just gonna triple check the live stream. There you go. I'll now open the first 15 minutes of question period. And we'll start with Councillor Chan.
This is a question for the VP academic. My question was about the open education in UofA. Are those open students members in the students' union? This is the information I'm thinking for. Also, I noticed that the faculty of extension students there were not paying the students' union fee. They're not full-time students as well. I think that both students in faculty of extension and open study students are in similar situations. So I want to hear your opinion for their inclusivity in the
students'
union. That's it.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. A reminder to keep questions to 30 seconds. Vice President Agarwal, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for the question. So, just the first one for open education resources. Essentially, what it is, it's kind of like a movement. It's very complicated, but essentially for students, it's a movement away from educational content that is paid for example, textbooks, moving it towards content that's not so expensive. So instead of a student having to pay like $300 for a textbook, there's free content online or course packs. I'm not sure if that's addressing the question, but you can ask again or you talk later about that. For the second question, I believe faculty extension students don't actually pay fees, so that's why they, SU fees particularly, so that's why they wouldn't be represented, but open study students, they do, and they have a spot on the Students' Council as representatives.
Thank you. We have Another question for Open Forum, and it is between two individuals on the live stream, so we'll get the answer whenever that individual sees it. Councillor C to Councillor Sunday, as the Aboriginal Students Council becomes a student representative association, will ASC need to be audited by audit committee? And we'll get an answer once we see it in the chat. And I'll go back to council. Any other questions and question period from those in attendance? Any other questions? We do have an answer being typed, so we will have that provided once it is. Any other questions for question period? Okay, I'll close question period. Closed. Once we're provided with that answer, I'll just jot in and provide that answer to council once there's an appropriate time to do so. With that, that'll close item six, question period. We'll move into item seven, board of committee business. Councillor Sunday's motion was rescinded. So we did special order late ads items. So we will start with item 7B, which is Draper moves to appoint one member of Students Council to bylaw committee. I'll look for a seconder.
Yep.
I'll go Councillor Bowes. Thank you. Councillor Draper, would you like to introduce your motion?
I would absolutely love to. So I'm back once again to try and explain to y'all why bylaw committee is not just one, not just one and a half, but upwards of 15 individual hoops. It is a fantastic time. It is a load of fun, but sadly, not everybody can sustain that amount of fun consistently. So sadly, we have lost another member due to scheduling conflicts. But that is good news for anybody in council who is not currently a member of bylaw committee, because you too have that opportunity to join this community and be a part of that much production of hoots on student council. And you can actually be a part of this and have that tangible impact. So I encourage anybody who enjoys the SU, who enjoys being on council, who enjoys having fun and creating such a hoot on a committee, to put their name forward and join bylaw committee. It is a lot of fun, and you will not be disappointed.
Thank you, Councillor Draper, for that hoot-filled speech. move to any questions or clarification questions. I'll keep your phone like activated. Any clarification questions around the committee before we go to nominations? Go ahead.
Can I just add something to?
Yeah, let's do it.
What he said. So I'm also on bylaw committee, and it's fun for sure. It's a hoot for sure. It is a decent amount of work, but I would encourage anybody to maybe consider getting on the committee. It can seem a bit boring sometimes, but also if you ever plan on becoming more involved with student unionism, bylaws are a great way to understand what happens in the student union. You also get to influence how things go down, even if you can't necessarily influence what goes down. So I would encourage anybody that maybe wants to understand how the student union works or just wants to get more involved to consider putting their name forward.
Thank you. Any other clarification questions? Or is your question, Councillor Chen, is your question a clarification or a nomination?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I have a question about Student Representative Association. Could you tell me the definition of this and how many student groups are in this association? Also, do you think that the international students group could belong to the Student Representative Association?
I'm going to call that question out of order as it's not relevant towards what we're talking about. Thank you for the question. I'd recommend you hold on to that for when the item about student representative associations is talked about at the next meeting. Councillor Sunday rescinded the motion about ASC. I'm just assuming that's what you're alluding towards. But if my assumption is wrong, please call me on it. President Bunninger, do you have a nomination or question? Nomination? Okay. All right. And then, do you have a further one? Or?
Yeah, just one quick thing I forgot to mention. We typically meet Wednesdays, non-council Wednesdays at 5:30, but we are always willing to kind of swap around if that works better, if there's another date that works better for the new members. So we are willing to accommodate. Please join bylaw committee. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no other questions, we'll open nominations. Vice President Larson had it first.
Oh, okay. I'd like to nominate myself because David Draper made this seem like such a party, and I'd like to get more involved in the Students' Union, so I think it's a great opportunity.
Thank you. Any other nominations? Any other nominations for bylaw committee? Anyone from the live stream? Not seeing it? Yeah?
I want to nominate Councillor Felicia.
Councillor Felicia, do you accept?
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh,
we got a contest.
Making me feel special.
Any other nominations? Seeing, for those on the live stream, the two nominations we currently have are Vice President Larson and Councillor Vadesha. Any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll go to a contest. So we'll do our standard 1 minute spiel about why you believe you're the best candidate for this seat. And then because we only have the two individuals this time, we will use our handy dandy voting system to do it. And what we'll do is, this is in no way, shape, or form in the way that these two individuals are, but in order of nomination, we'll put when we go for a vote, plus will be for Vice President Larson, and the minus will be for Councillor Vadesha. Go ahead. You have a question, or do you want to go for your junior speech?
No, I was actually going to ask if I could just rescind it and give our Councillor Vadesha an opportunity to become more involved with this.
If you'd like to, that is your choice.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Congratulations, Councillor Vadesha. Perfect. So that concludes Boarding Committee business. We'll now move to General Orders. Item 8A in General Orders. Staff moves to appoint four members of Students Council to the Ad Hoc Bar Advisory Committee. I'll look for a seconder. Councillor Draper. Vice President Statt, would you like to introduce your motion?
I would.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so this committee is not going to be very intensive. It's not going to be around for a very long time. Most of the work was going to be done in August, and essentially what it is this. There'll be three meetings. Each meeting will be an hour and a half long. And what the members of council that sit on this committee will be doing is reviewing some of the new additions to our menus in the bars, some of the changes in marketing, some of the rearranging of those menus, as well as taste testing some of the new foods coming in. So the focus of this is a few counselors, a few students at large. And I just want to take the opportunity to try to involve students as we kind of finalize some rebranding of the bars during the summer. So if that's the type of thing you're interested in, you want to provide some feedback, and you think you understand what students want in the bars, feel free to nominate yourself or another person for this committee. Love to have you. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Staff. Is there any questions or clarifications around this committee before we move to nominations? Go ahead.
So you said it's probably not going to be on for long. Sorry. At least that. How long do you think this committee will be around for?
Go ahead.
So this committee will only be around until the beginning of the fall term, because we'd like to have all the marketing rebranding done for basically after orientation week is ready, so new students have, like, they're not going to be switching over in a weird way. So it'll be done by the end of August.
Thank you. Any other clarification questions? Yeah, you're going for it.
Okay. What's the anticipated time commitment for the committee?
Go ahead.
So as I had said, it's three meetings. Each meeting should be about an hour and a half. The last meeting, since there should be taste testing, might be a little bit longer, but it's really nothing compared to a standing council committee. It'll be very ad hoc, pretty straightforward, and the agendas will be provided ahead of time.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other clarification? Seeing none, we'll move to nomination process. So we're looking for four members of student council for this. First, we have President Bandekar.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Jamaluddin.
Councillor Jamal, do you accept?
Yeah, this is food, so yeah, I definitely accept.
All right. Well, we just got a ton. Count, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Draper. For anyone who knows him, he's a very passionate drinker.
Councillor Draper, do you accept?
I will not only accept, but I will enthusiastically accept.
Wonderful. President Badger.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Councillor Bose, do you accept? Vice President Agarwal.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Badger.
Councillor Gadara, do you accept?
Yeah, sure. Yes, I accept.
Sounds great. Next is Vice President Larson.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Ismail.
Councillor Ismail, do you accept?
I mean, could I just go for the tasting?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here in August or that much, so I'm going to decline. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dillon.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Syed.
Councillor Syed, do you accept?
Yeah.
Vice President Agarwal?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dixon.
Councillor Dixon, do you accept? No worries. One moment. Yes. Just answering that. Any nomination. I guess I could type nominations. I'm just checking the live stream quickly. Any other nominations from here? Oh, Vice President Larson.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Marinakis.
Councillor Marinakis?
I accept.
All right. Thank you. Any other nominations? Currently, for your information, we have Councillor Jamal Dean, Councillor Draper, Councillor Gatera, Councillor Syed, and Councillor Reynakis. I'm seeing none from the live stream. One is typing. Anyone else physically? We currently have five or four positions, so what we'll do is what we've done before with a little piece of paper passed around, do a vote, and then we'll distribute the results after. I'm seeing no other nominations, so we'll go ahead and do our voting. Where's my brain? We'll do the speeches, and then we're going to do the voting. Sorry, folks. Before we get going, I'm just going to take a couple seconds here to type it out and put it into the chat so people know who's speaking, and then I'm going to put it up on the board for people to see. Excuse me for a second.
Robin, I just emailed you their names if you don't want to copy and paste from the emails.
Yeah.
You can also just type them.
I got it on the other screen here. Did I butcher anybody's name? I butchered yours?
The fourth letter of my last name is Mao. Thank you.
Here?
No, the fourth letter. So J-A-M-A. That part was right.
Jamal. Oh my god. I am sorry.
That's okay.
Done?
And then two D's.
Perfect. There. Now we're good? Gotta make sure that's right. will get 1 minute to make their case, and then afterwards we will pass around the little slips, and please rank your choices in preferential ballot, and they will be tabulated and emailed out. And I will, as soon as you see your mic go, you good to go? I'll figure it out. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I guess in regards to the taste testing portion, I feel that I love to cook and I cook a lot, so I feel like I might have I think I have a good palate, so I might have some good opinions there. But yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ross.
We will now go to Chancellor Draper, whenever you're ready.
So, quickly, I'd like to refute a point made by Councillor Smale in the nomination. I do enjoy the occasional beverage, but I would not describe myself as an enthusiastic drinker. But I would describe myself as somebody who absolutely, with a burning passion, loves Dewey's. I have been there more than I should probably admit at council. It is a phenomenal spot. I would dare say that my constant showing up there is probably one of the main reasons it stayed afloat this past year. I love it to absolute bits. I'm there basically nonstop, and it is one of the highlights of my degree so far, second only to bylaw committee. And I would highly, I would absolutely love to be there. I love cooking, I love eating. I would just, being there to be a part of the changes coming to Dewey's would honestly probably bring a tear to my eye. And that is no exaggeration. Thank you very much for your consideration. And thank you, Councillor, or thank you, Geeky Stat, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Draper. Now go to Councillor Patera.
Thank you.
Please go ahead when you're ready.
Like the previous speakers, I also have experience eating. I've also worked in a restaurant for the past few years, so I guess I kind of can tell what menu changes and stuff people don't respond well to. That could help. And yeah, this would be a pretty cool opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Syed, when you're ready.
So first and foremost, I would like to echo Councillor Draper's comments about Dewey's. Or I also love Dewey's. I was there every single Friday of the first 3 months of my degree, and that place truly made a difference. But furthermore, also last year, as I was becoming more accustomed to council, I got to spend a lot of time with Vice President Ripka while she was developing the marketing strategy for Dewey's. And I got to talk a lot with her about what she wanted to see happen with the place and just seeing how excited she was about all the marketing strategies for these places that are really important to me, especially because I can finally go to RAT now. So I'd really love to see RAT. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Councilman Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that I'd be a good person on this committee because I have combined 8 years of experience within the hospitality and food industry. I also worked in Greece with a hotel company that actually tailored a menu to their customers. In terms of food, if you follow me on social media, you know I cook all the time. So I also want to make sure that the preferences are being met with the food that is being offered to students, and I think I'd be a great person for that. So yeah, if you think that that is a good enough reason to be on the committee, please vote for me.
That will conclude our end of it, our spiels, and we will pass out ballots as per our usual procedure.
Sounds good.
Respond.
was wondering what everyone thought, and we figured that it would be good to open a quick discussion for everyone to see, to everyone to see how council as a whole felt. This discussion should be an opportunity for everyone to speak their opinions, should they choose. That was the introduction. I will now move over to the mic system, and I'll open the floor to discussion on this topic. Starting with Vice President Larson. And a reminder, with discussion, it will be 4 minutes talk.
That's a long talk. Personally, I'm a fan of moving towards having a vegetarian council, especially with all the new meat alternatives that we have, especially once Beyond Meat went to a public organization. A lot of other restaurants like Tim Hortons and A&W transitioning towards vegetarian meat options, if that makes sense. But if we went towards a vegetarian thing, there are a lot of other options that we can look at, and it would seem feasible and probably reduce our costs as well. But that's all I have to say for that.
Thank you. Next, I have Councilor Drake.
Now, as a person, I quite thoroughly enjoy meat. I enjoy it in a lot of ways. I enjoy it at a lot of meals, but I also very thoroughly enjoy living on the earth while it is still around. I personally am in support of this motion because at the end of the day, you still get a free meal every 2 weeks. Maybe there's meat, but it's still a free meal every 2 weeks. And if there's statistics that say if you go without meat 1 day a week, that's equivalent of your entire family taking 3 minutes short of a shower each. Or if the entirety of the United States take 1 day off of meat for the entire week, that's the equivalent of taking 7.6 million cars off the road. Now that's a very small thing to do, is just have one meal out of every week, or 1 day of every week, not have meat in it. That's like, and a lot of us eat meals without meat anyways. Earlier today, Councillor Dixon brought up the point of cereal. I had cereal for breakfast this morning. There was no meat in my cereal. I don't think it's too much to ask that every 2 weeks, the councillors have a free meal which does not include meat. I also believe this might actually lead to some savings surrounding the catering, because that is a cost to council, and meat does cost a lot of money. So cutting back on that would also save council money in the long term.
Thank you. Next is Councillor Dixon.
Okay, cool. So I have lots of thoughts on this. Very pro non-meat everything. Anyway, moving on though, it's brought to my attention by, I don't know your name.
Mark.
Oh, Mark, okay. That this might actually be more of a proper discussion and decision that's made solely by, what is their official name, CAC? Just because like this isn't actually a business that's going to be affecting like the larger student body, it's just affecting us. This is a really small change in my opinion. So I think it's something that can be discussed by and made a decision by them, but I might be alone in that viewpoint. I just think that it's kind of not necessarily something that the rest of students might be concerned with, and maybe it would be better using our time discussing something else.
Thank you. Now go to Councillor Snail.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For me, I always look at, for councillors who are vegetarians, do you get vegetarian options today? Does every councillor here have the option to get vegetarian? And the answer is yes. I think this whole idea of moving to sustainability and talking about vegetarian, it shouldn't be forced upon us. All councillors have that choice. Everyone here can make the decision and they're not gonna go get the meat option, they can go get the veg option, right? I'm celiac. I can't eat gluten. I'm not forcing anyone else to take gluten-free options. I don't want you guys, because frankly, it's pretty bad. And I hate it. But I'm not forcing you to do that. But it's your choice to do that. And I think we should be about choice. If you really want to talk about sustainability, take the moments, don't eat the meat, shower less, like do all these alternatives. Just don't force it down other people's throats. I also think that the food's another great way of attracting people to come to council and see what we do. The idea that you're going to take meat off the menu and just going to strictly have vegetarian, I know friends who would be like, oh, the food's not good. And a lot of them, if they just think vegetarian, it could be great, but you just have vegetarian options. I know a lot of my friends would just be discouraged to come to check it out because there's no meat options there. So, I mean, vegetarian's an option. You can eat vegetarian. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying just give people the option to do what they believe that they want to do. And I mean, in my experience, when looking at what we saw here, like I don't even think this should be a conversation at council, but every week, the meat options are always empty and the veggie options are always full. So that is already telling me that you people as councillors
already making that decision to eat meat. So why are we having this conversation? You guys have already made that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a point from the live stream, Councillor Vargas Alba. I speak in high favor of this change. I've been planning events with vegetarian catering for years, including all 15-ish sessions of Stride over the last 2 years, and it was both more cost-effective as well as just delicious. We really don't miss out on much, and we leave a good impact. Also, the SU catering not only has tons of vegetarian options, they're also all really good, so we don't miss out on much. Next, we have Vice President Staff. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have two simple tidbits to add to the conversation, or refurb rather, I suppose, but the earlier point that was made was this could have been done in CAC. I think it could have, though I do appreciate that it was brought forward to council just because of some councillors might be a bit surprised when they come in and there's no more meat and it's all vegetarian. So I do appreciate the conversation around it. My second tidbit is just simply that I think it's one meal. I mean, I ate meat for lunch. I'm not opposed to not having meat for dinner. And I can see how it would sort of align with the sustainability efforts around useful dish program and the like. I don't think there's that many vegetarians in the room, but I do understand the purpose behind it. So at least for me personally, it's not that much of a sacrifice for me to have tofu or something instead of meat for once. Thank you.
Thank you. And now move to President Banninger.
With one speaker, with at least one speaker for and one speaker against, can I call this a question?
No,
it is. Is it a
vote? This is not a motion.
Oh, hot dang. Well, I'm just trying to end the conversation because I do think that this is a great conversation for sure, but I also think that this is something that CAC should definitely be talking about, especially like having the discussion and maybe bringing a proposal forward to council, because I think this is the body where we should make decisions about whatever the catering business could be. So going forward, I am in favor of looking at more vegetarian options for council, again, for the reasons already stated, but also looking for reasons like contrary to what has already kind of been said, where there are people who come to council for the food for sure, but I hope that, you know, council can create a welcoming enough environment that the food is not the only incentive for students to come and engage in our political processes.
Thank you. So following that point and then the point that others have made, as this was referred to council as a bit of a litmus test on what council's opinion would be, I will allow, I have one speaker on the speaker's list that has not yet spoken. I'll allow that to go forward so that the committee has their opinion, and I recommend this goes to the committee afterwards. Please go ahead, Councillor Chen.
So I do prefer that we have that option in the meal. I think that some people don't eat vegetarian not because they don't care about the environment, they don't care about the cost of the catering. Maybe they just don't like it, or the food will make them uncomfortable. Such as I personally don't like onions, and I probably have the onion allergy to it. Also, I think push people to eat food they don't like it, it's not very good, because when I was very young, my parents pushed me to eat eggplant, and they just used some very extreme way to force me to eat. I have this bad memory in eat vegetables. So I personally think that I would prefer this meat choice for myself, because the vegetable not only not taste good, but also have bad memory for me. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I will read the last 2 points off of the live stream. Councillor Sunday, in my opinion, I think students' council could alternate between a vegetarian option and a non-vegetarian option. Councillor C, I'm in support of vegetarian food every council meeting because it is only once per 2 weeks and it is easy to eat meat whenever we choose outside of council. Councillor Beasley, on behalf of CAC, I would like to thank everyone for the input. This was super helpful. I will conclude this discussion item and move on to item 8. B, Banninger moves to go in camera. I'll look for a seconder. Vice President Brown. So we have a motion to go in camera. Everyone knows the drill with that. We proceed. secret, the fact of what feels legal. Motion to go on camera. I'll let President Bernhardt, do you want to increase the motion?
No.
Alright. Sounds good. So we go open to a vote on our handy-dandy voting system. Voting is now open.
Oh, is it working?
Should be. Can you see it? Is it on? Abstention and one opposed, with the abstention like we noted. Seeing not, we are now in camera. Anything you say in here must be kept within the walls of this room because you have signed a non